Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. I have a special guest with me today, Braden, who is my son. Braden, why don't you just say hello to everyone?
Hello.
I would love to share the story of Braden recently finding a new heart, a new spirit. It was a very, very wild ride. And God had mercy, and it went from one of the most, what was going to be a very tragic day, to the most glorious day of my life. And that will be for another day. Recently, God has caused me to go on two different missions trips down to Georgia. God basically let me know. The first trip, I think I had a two-week heads-up notice. The second one, I had 7 days. And he gave the itinerary, and we went to do his work, because God's interested in saving souls and freeing them from captivity, freeing them from demon possession, freeing them from the sins of their heart, giving them power and deliverance. And we'll get to those later in a future podcast, but for now, today, what God says we must be talking about, Braden, and for everybody else, is we must understand the warfare that we are fighting. We must not be deceived. The devil has been fighting this war for thousands of years, and we must know so that we don't fall into those traps. So today, that's what we're going to be talking about. And for a couple episodes, we'll probably do a couple of episodes today to get these out. So with that, let's open in prayer. Oh Father, you are God Almighty. You are He who is holy. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and is to come, and our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at your right hand in the throne room. Father, I thank you that you have granted mercy to us to be your servants. Father, by your hand and your power, and through the sacrifice and the atoning death of your Son Jesus for our sins, you have offered a way to be granted, to become partakers of the divine nature, partakers of your Holy Spirit, to be cleansed from all sin, renewed in our mind, so that we can walk in power, your power, by your Spirit that you put inside our heart in the inner man, so that we can live in strength and victory and holiness, doing your will and not our own. Father, as we look today at your word, we're going to look at the example of Christ. The deception that the devil came. The devil was unable to deceive your son because your son knew the truth. And we're going to look at that. So, Father, I pray that you will bless today. Bind the demonic activity and the lies and the thoughts that the devil puts into people's minds to confuse them. Father, help lift the veil over the hearts that people may start to see and understand. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4. I think many people are aware that Jesus was tempted. Braden, what does it tell us in chapter 4, verse 1? Who was it that was tempting or tempted to tempt? Well, they did tempt, but was unsuccessful. Christ.
The devil.
That's right. What does it say in chapter 4, verse 1?
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
To be tempted by the devil. So, what were the conditions? What was surrounding the events? Well, what was Jesus doing during that time, Braden, in verse 2?
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry.
So, Jesus became hungry. It's a physical hunger. We know that he had a physical body, weakness, as of a man as we had. But yet, the law of the Spirit of life that was in him, the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, he was able to overcome. In this case, he became hungry. You know, many like you and I, and those who are listening, we have a physical body just like Christ did. We will feel the hunger and the thirst just like Christ did. The devil will seek to use those feelings of the physical body to manipulate you, to get you to do things against the will of God. In this case, Jesus was hungry. He felt hungry. How did the devil try to use that as an opportunity? In verse 3, Braden.
Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread."
So he appeals to a couple things. One, he appeals to the authority of Christ. Christ was the Son of God. The devil then says, "If you are the Son of God." Well, of course he is. But he knew that he had authority, and he was appealing to that authority. Jesus, exercise your authority. You have authority to command these stones to become bread. And Jesus knew he had authority to command those stones to be bread, to turn into bread. But there is a higher level calling of why we're here. God has not placed us on this earth for the purpose of going around and just seeking how we can feed ourselves. I mean, yes, that is something that we do. I mean, God says, if you don't work, you don't eat. He understands that we have to eat. He understands that we have to be clothed. He understands that we have to be sheltered. But the focus is, that is not to be the priority one in our life. No. Now, in Jesus' answer is very telling. What does Jesus say to him in verse 4?
But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. You see, this is a principle that we're to be living by. Well, what does that really mean? What's the example? What's the backdrop? Where did this come from? It came from Deuteronomy. So let us go to Deuteronomy to understand what was meant. You see, it's not just the statement that Jesus made. It's the thought. It's the intent. It's what God our Father wants. We need to know these things. You see, it all comes down to the intent in the intentions of the thought and the words that were spoken. The problem today in the churches is people will read the Word of God. They'll speak it. But they'll use the wisdom of man to explain what the intentions were, instead of looking and understanding what the intentions were that God already had dictated. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 is what Jesus quoted. But we're going to look at the entire chapter to understand what was the intent. What is the understanding? You see, knowledge without understanding will lead to death. And if you don't even get the knowledge, how can you even understand? Yes, some people perish for lack of knowledge. Some people have knowledge, but they don't have the understanding of that knowledge. They will perish too. Braden, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3.
So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
So there's the statement. Seems pretty straightforward. No, we're to live with everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. What was going on here? What's the point? Well, let us look at more aspects here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. See, in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "All the commandments that I am commanding you today you shall be careful to do." Doer, not a hearer who deceives themselves, as it tells us in James chapter 1. "That you might live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to give your forefathers. You see, God swore it. But we know, even in we read the book of Exodus, not everybody received the promise, even though he swore. Why? Well, we're going to find out. This is really important. God instructed them that they should remember something. What is it that he says they need to remember in verse 2?
And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not.
Ah, you see, God Almighty himself tested them. We had to test them to know what was in their hearts. Not, oh, do you have a desire for God? Oh, do you believe in God? Oh, do you confess that Jesus is your Lord? We've done episodes on this. Yes, there are many who are going to confess Jesus is Lord. There are many who are going to believe. God will reject them and say, depart from me, I don't know you. We did episodes on those. Because God will know what's in the heart. It's beyond desire. It's whether or not you have power, whether or not you have capability. Or if you're the man that continues to stumble in many ways, that man is in trouble. But here, he is testing to find out what was in your heart. You see, if you truly have God in your heart, if you truly have the Spirit of God in your heart, and you have power, and you've been cleansed from all sin, what are you able to do? What was the final statement in verse 2 that you would then be able to do?
Whether they would keep his commandments or not.
Keep his commandments or not! Braden, before God changed your heart, did you believe that God was real?
Yeah.
Did you believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world?
Yep.
Did you believe that it was by faith in his work alone and not yours?
Yep.
Did you seek and desire to want to find God, to please him as you lived your life?
Yeah, I tried.
And when you would stumble, would you know that it was wrong?
Absolutely.
Would you appeal to anybody to help you in your prayer?
I did.
Who did you appeal to?
God.
And you would ask him to help you?
Yep.
But then you would struggle because of the weakness of your flesh. And you would stumble again. Were you able? In your work, you were trying to please God. You were trying to not disobey his voice and not sin. Were you able to be successful, son?
No.
Which I can now call you brother, praise God. No, you were unable to. But yet God did a work when you found him last week. Praise God. Praise God. Through certain circumstances, the fear of God struck you like it had never had before. Brayden, how quickly did God change your heart and your mind?
It was just like that.
Just like that.
Instantly.
Instantly. Okay. Those struggles that you used to have before. Do you still struggle with those things?
Nope, nothing.
You have victory. All the man-made controls that you put on your phone to help you not struggle, do you need those anymore?
I already took them off.
That's right. Because you don't need to serve God by a bunch of rules. As a matter of fact, you probably don't even try to not even do those things anymore, do you?
Don't even think about it.
That's right, because God has cleansed you from everything. I tell you, it is the most wonderful, freeing thing, and that's what God wants. And this is what Jesus, as he's quoting back, this is what God always wants. He's going to find out what's in your heart. When sin still dwells within it, it's inevitable. You're going to continue to stumble, even though you don't want to. So God humbled them. In verse 3, he let them be hungry. He fed them with manna, which they did not know, that he might make you understand. Everyone listening today, this is what Jesus wanted you to know. The first temptation, the first test, and yet the principle and the truth of what God desires, everyone listening today, right now, you must understand this. Man does not live by bread alone. That only sustains the physical body. But we must live by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. God showed them. Did they have to worry about food or clothing or any of those things? We know He gave them food. In verse 4, what about their clothing?
Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years.
That's right. And so God says in verse 5, thus you are to know in your heart that Yahweh your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. But Braden, we know that everybody did not yet come into the full discipline of God. Those who are listening, you can go back and read the story of Exodus and you can find the number of people that God took their life in the wilderness for their disobedience. We did an episode on the discipline of God, the struggling son. The discipline of God, it makes the path straight. Do a word search for discipline. In the titles of the podcast, listen to those if you have not. Find out the true discipline of the Lord. Therefore, the person who has come under the discipline of God, what are we to be doing in verse 6?
Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him.
God desires you and I, and all those who are listening, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. A reverent fear. But to walk in His ways, not by trying. I know, son Braden, that you used to try to walk in God's ways. What would I always tell you about that when you would stumble? What would I always remind you about walking in His ways? Did I say that you would be able to do it?
Nope, the real problem's in the heart.
That's right. Did I get angry when you would stumble and you would stumble and you would stumble?
No.
What would I remind you? What was the only way that you could overcome?
Turning to God's the only way.
Because who has to do the work, son?
He's got to change your heart.
God has to do the work. We can't do it. And that's one of the things, son, that you, and at the time you didn't know, and many people that might be listening today, God doesn't want you to try. It's never going to work. You must be willing to lose your life and surrender to Him and let God change you. But God wants all of you. He wants all of you until you're willing to give up everything. He can't change you.
Absolutely everything.
And that's what you learned.
Yep.
And because God's love and mercy, you were on the brink of losing everything, son. And at that moment, that's when you realized, what is the point of life if everything is taken from you? Praise God. And He had mercy on your soul. You received the greatest gift of the eternal life. And all those things that were distractions, He has since given them back. Because now you're able to be in the world, but not of the world. After God does His wonderful, perfect work. Oh, Father, I just thank You. I thank You. And I pray, oh, Father, that everyone that is listening, that they will come to that point of the loving hand of God and the power to touch them and to strengthen them and to help them overcome. Oh, the mercy of God is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. And the grace and the Spirit that He pours out is a wonderful thing. But the problem, and Jesus knew this, it's the distractions of the world. God would not let them lack. As a matter of fact, God would bless them. He would give them a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing north or flowing forth in the valley and the hills. Was He going to give them food in verse 8?
A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper.
He was going to give them food. He was going to give them natural resources so they could prosper. But the problem is, if we don't understand that our lives are now to be that holy living sacrifice of the Father, doing His will, not being distracted by the bread of the world, because that can be a stumbling. You see, in verse 10, He gives a warning. What does God say the warning is about the food of this earth?
When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
That's right. The danger is that you might forget. Forget what? He rescued out of the slavery. You see, for us who have come to Christ, we cover this of what He does, what spiritual baptism is, in the episode on Romans chapter 6. And overcoming sin, the war of the flesh, explained. You see, when we're spiritually baptized, knowing this, that we've been crucified with Christ, in order that our body of sin might be destroyed, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is now freed from sin. He goes on later in Romans chapter 6 to say, therefore, sin is no longer to be master over us. We're no longer under that yoke. We're now under the grace of God. We've been freed from that. No longer are our members to be slaves of unrighteousness. No, but we're to present ourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and the members of our body as righteousness to God. Not by our works, but by the power of God, the new heart and the new spirit that He has put within us. A lot of this is discussed in Romans chapter 6. But if you forget, if you turn back, well, then God may change His mind, as He talks about in Jeremiah chapter 18. He's the potter. Even though He promises a blessing, He'll remove it if you turn away. And even though He may promise destruction on the wicked, if they repent and come to Him to find mercy and grace, then God will change His promise and His plan. This is God's words. These are not mine. Read Jeremiah 18, the potter. So He says, we must always remember. In verse 18, what does God want to do?
And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
See, God wants to fulfill the covenant that He swore to the fathers. The promise of Abraham, the blessing to all nations. He wants to confirm it. But there's conditions. What does He say in verse 19?
Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God.
Because they would not be obedient to the voice of Yahweh, their God. A lot of people think, oh, but Sam, I go to church. I don't worship other gods. Done many episodes about people who believe they have a faith in God, but it's a vain faith. People who confess Jesus, and He's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. Idol worship today is when you put other things before God. Braden, did you read your Bible?
Yeah, I did.
Did you seek God? Did you believe in God?
I did.
But were you serving Him with God first and foremost in front in your life in all aspects and all ways?
I wasn't willing to give everything up. That was the problem.
Was God willing to accept your sacrifice of worship to Him previously?
No, He has to have everything.
That's right. But you know that now. Praise God. So for everyone who's listening, the devil is going to try to keep you distracted by the things of the world, by the desires of the world, by the weaknesses of your fleshly body. The example here back in Matthew chapter 4 was food. Yes, there's a time for food, but more important than the food is, are you doing the will of God? Because if not, there's a danger. Your soul is at stake. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that it'll go forth and convict. I pray that people will understand your thoughts and your intentions, O God, and your explanation and your ways, and not rely on the wisdom of man, which can take your knowledge and lead to false understanding. But your understanding, O God, as you teach and you instruct. And Father, as I pray, as we continue to go through your word and continue to look at these examples, that people will understand the warfare of the devil so that they can see his schemes and tricks and understand and turn to you and find life and may overcome. I pray this, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.